Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Garrett Bowles made a splash today, had an interesting press conference. What stood out the most to you with the things that Garrett Bowles had to say today, Tyler?
You know, Garrett likes to ramble, and it didn't all necessarily make sense, but what stood out to me is this guy, he loves this city, and he loves this team, and he loves playing here for Coach Bunchak, for Coach Cooper, for everybody. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about what are you going to do with Garrett? Are you going to pay him now? Are you going to pay him more later? Do you franchise tag him? And the more I think about with Garrett, I just think there is no pressure to do anything. You've got the ability to franchise tag him now. You can franchise tag him again. You could come to him later with a reasonable deal, and I think he actually might take it because he actually loves playing here. I don't think that, my point is, I don't think that bridge is burned with the city.
What stood out to me is this.
You know, I had my wife line up, and she would run after me, and I would take my sets, and I'd put my hands on her. Not hard, of course, but just enough so I can get into a repetition of continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
How can you go wrong? When your wife is helping you
right.
with sets in
That's
the kitchen.
The key. That's the key to becoming a pro bowler.
Ring it, Richie.
NFL.com put out a list of players that have earned bank based off their 2020 play.
Okay.
All right. A couple guys stand out on this list. Number one, Phillip Rivers, just because I want to rub it in. And I want to tell you
You're right. I cannot even believe it, but you're right.
Phillip Rivers is playing really good football
right now. I get it.
As far as it relates to the Denver Broncos, ironically, Garrett Bowles did not make this list. However, Justin Simmons did.
Yeah, they don't know. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, Justin Simmons is playing great football. They've got him ranked as the second best safety in the NFL. They actually think that it is a possibility to franchise tag him for a second straight year.
They don't know.
Well, what they say actually makes sense. At $13.7 million, that actually is a little bit of a bargain for a top-tier safety. So if you're going to pay Justin Simmons and you retain him, you're probably going to have to make him the second or third highest-paid safety in the NFL. And if you can get a little bit of a bargain on a one-year franchise tag, maybe not that bad of an idea.
Okay, but they're not taking in consideration what the Broncos are going to do at left tackle. I think a lot of people nationally have already dismissed Garrett Bowles. And locally, this is why you listen, folks. Locally, we are aware of the situation a lot more than those folks. Justin Simmons is going to get paid one way or the other, Tyler. No doubt about it. But it might not be with the Broncos. I think it's a coin flip if Justin Simmons is back. I would be stunned if Garrett Bowles isn't back because it's easier to keep him.
I think they're both back, man.
We've got tons of
money available. And when you franchise tag
Like Justin Simmons might have choices. I mean, hey, the money could be same, and he may want to go to a contender. He may want to go with the Packers or the Chiefs or whoever. I mean, you know, he may want to do
fair.
It.
Well, that's fair. But my point is,
why wouldn't he want to win a championship?
I think that's a fair point, but I just think you can reasonably make a run at both of these guys, and you reasonably could get them both locked up, even if you have to pay Justin Simmons like the top of the class.
Okay. But Simmons, do not be surprised if Justin Simmons says, you know what, thanks, Denver. It's been nice. You know, I'm going to whatever because I want to win a Super Bowl now.
You certainly could.
Yeah. Ring it, Richie. All right, I got something fun for you. The top 25 came out in college football. And just number one's Alabama. 1, 2, 3, 4. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State. Okay? USC is 18. They're 3-0.
Okay.
CU is 2-0. They're playing USC this Saturday. I'm telling you, Tyler, my Arizona State Sun Devils could have and should have beat USC. It took a miracle for USC, a last-second touchdown, an onside kick, and another late touchdown for USC to beat Arizona State. USC ain't that good, and they're nationally ranked at 18. If CU can beat USC and CU is 3-0, will we find CU in the top 25?
I don't think we will. You know,
even if they beat USC.
Yeah.
Wow. Why?
First off, Pac-12 is bad. And so you take that into consideration.
Start there?
Yeah.
Oregon's at 15.
And then second off, for a team like CU to break the top 25, it's going to take more. It's going to take longevity because voters that are out there, they just think of Colorado as this bad football team. And I get it, man. We have not been good. We certainly have not been a top 25 team in a long time. And so I highly doubt if voters out there would give Colorado that kind of respect.
Well, I thought I made a pretty good case. Shoulder to shoulder, raining on the parade. Ring it, Richie.
Yeah, listen, I love it. Let's go. 3-0, baby.
Yeah?
NFL power rankings are out from NFL.com.
Yay!
And the Broncos have moved up to number 22. That's from number 25. My question to you is, when the season is all said and done, where do you think the Broncos will land on the power rankings?
That's a great question. Okay. What do I think they're going to do? They got six games left. I really need them to win three, by the way. Really four.
Yeah, you really, really do.
For other reasons.
And I'm just going to say, based off the way your bet's been going, probably not going to happen.
It doesn't look good. I'm going to say they get at least two wins, by hook or by crook. At least two more wins. So that would put them at 6-10. That would put them at a draft pick of maybe 13. So I would say at the end of the day, they'll end up power ranking wise 19. How's that?
Wow, that's pretty optimistic in my mind.
Well, what are they right now?
I think best case scenario, they win two more games.
Well, that's what I just said, at least.
I'm saying that's best case, right? So you're saying that's the bare minimum.
Golly, what do you think they'll end up winning the rest of the way then?
Maybe one.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe one.
Wow.
You know, if by the time the season's all said and done, I think they're going to be hovering somewhere in that ballpark between 25 and 27.
Golly, man. I feel like the things have flipped here, you know, for me being so doom and gloom about that Dolphins game.
Well, I'm not riding the wave, man. I'm not riding the wave of the current win against the Dolphins team that was really struggling. And, you know, had I seen Drew Locke go out there and do something, all right, maybe that would change my opinion. But unfortunately, I did not. And I don't believe that Pat Shurmur will try to replicate the successful formula that he had of running the football that often.
Ring it, Richie. Here's a fun one for you. In their first year of eligibility, Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson, as well as Calvin Johnson, but I'm just going to focus on Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson because they were in the same draft year, lead the list of 25 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All right. There's no doubt both Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson, and probably Calvin Johnson, but there's no doubt Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson will go into the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
Which of the two do you think has a better chance to be a unanimous decision?
Peyton Manning.
Why?
Because he's a quarterback. And he's got multiple championships, and he's done it on multiple teams, and his final game of his career was the Super Bowl. That is very memorable. I just think that anytime you're a quarterback, the resume that Peyton Manning has, that is a guarantee. Well, in my mind, it should be a guarantee that it's first ballot.
Do you think Peyton Manning will be a unanimous decision? How could he not be?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, seriously, how could it be anything but that?
I mean, listen, if Peyton's not unanimous, who is?
Seriously. Ring it, Richard.
I don't know what it would take. Well, speaking of great quarterbacks, why is Tom Brady such a baby?
Why is he such a baby?
I mean, can you believe that last night he did not shake Jared Goff's hand again?
I guess I should say it was
Nick Foles, now it's Jared Goff. Twice in 1 year, he is not shaking another quarterback's hand, and it's not COVID. He has shaken plenty of quarterbacks' hands this year. It's just after he loses, he's a gigantic baby.
I think it's one of the most classless moments. I think Tom Brady is really showing some crazy reveals about who he is as a person. It's weird, man. I mean, have a little sense of your place in history in terms of your mortality and what you mean to the game to a player like Jared Goff, who probably grew up having a great deal of respect for you.
Doesn't that always blow your mind a little bit when all-time greats like that, no matter what the industry is, but they are the absolute GOAT. They're on top of the field, and nobody is coming for you, man. Nobody is coming for you. Yet they're so paranoid, and yet they're so afraid of the up-and-comers, and they just they can't recognize where they are.
That lack of awareness is actually kind of stunning to me. And it tells me there's, listen, maybe that's part of what drives Tom Brady, but man, it's classless. And it's, I don't know, man. It tells me something about Tom Brady. It's actually a little stunning when you think of it. You're not satisfied with where you are in your place in history? Really?
I still don't know who needed who more. I don't know if Belichick needed him or if he needed Belichick more. They're both a bunch of babies without each other.
Belichick needed Brady more, but
they're
still,
both a bunch of babies this year.
They are. I'll agree with you on that. Belichick making lame-ass excuses about salary caps. Tom Brady not shaking hands after losses. What, you guys think you're invincible? You're going to live forever?
Right.
I let it rain in terms of bad stuff to the two of them as far as I'm concerned, but it was a classless move, in my opinion. Ring it, Richard. Hey, you want to hear the list of the 25 semifinalists?
Oh, I would love
Tell
to.
Tell me who you think the Hall of Famers are.
I would love to.
First-time guys, Jared Allen. Tell me thumbs up, thumbs down. Jared Allen, first year, probably not. He'll probably have to wait a little
bit. Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, but I doubt if it's first ballot.
Right. Calvin Johnson, Megatron. I think he's going to have to wait.
He would have been had he not retired,
He doesn't have the years.
Again, guaranteed Hall of Famer, though.
He will be eventually not first ballot.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning, slam dunk. Charles Woodson, slam dunk. First ballots. Maybe unanimous voting. And if Charles Woodson isn't unanimous voting, I really would have to ask the question, what else do you need to do as a cornerback?
Right. Like, they both should be.
Does Woodson have a Super Bowl ring, though?
Oof.
Packers? Where else was he? Raiders, Packers? Was he anywhere else?
Those are the two ringing the bell with me.
All right, let me give you the other guys. And you let me know, thumbs up, thumbs down, if they should be in the... If they will, not if they should. Because all these guys probably, you know, should.
He has won a Super Bowl.
He did. Where? Yeah. Packers?
With Green Bay when they played Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right, Eric Allen. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You got to vote. Eric Allen.
Wait, is the question this year?
This year.
No.
No. Willie Anderson.
No.
Rondé Barber.
No. Although I had to think about that one. I mean, he's got the longevity. He's, gosh, how many years did he play? It has to be 15, 16.
He's a long time. A lot better than Tiki.
I don't think he had the ultimate career success, though, that you need for a first ballot.
Cornelius the Biscuit Bennett. One of my guys. Oh, I love the Biscuit. One of the core guys from the Buffalo Bills teams of that period.
Him and Willie Anderson.
That's a tough one, man. He's obviously been around it. I got a great story about Cornelius Bennett.
I doubt it.
You doubt I have a great story?
No, I'm sorry. I doubt that he's first ballot.
Well, this isn't first ballot. This had been years.
Oh, excuse me.
I already named the four guys who are first ballot.
I asked you. I clarified. You didn't change the rules when you should have changed the rules.
This year, Cornelius Bennett.
Maybe.
Tough.
Maybe.
So in the Bills locker room, the Bills practiced at the same place they played. They were one of those teams.
Okay.
So their locker room was always their locker room, period. Just the way it was. Most guys coming out of the shower are shy. Or, you know, it's just like, maybe they're not shy. Thurman Thomas was like really shy, okay? Really shy. Some guys, you know, whatever. Cornelius Bennett was the least shy guy on record ever in a locker room. I get it. I know. It's probably.
I got questions, but I'm not going to ask them.
Dude, what? And his locker just happened to be in a spot that was like, right like in a corner, sort of in the middle of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
This dude This dude was not shy.
This dude was.
I'm just going to leave it there for your imagination.
Mm.
But Cornelius
Big
Bennett.
Imagination or?
for me, it's very little imagination.
Oh, geez.
But my man Cornelius Bennett, it was always fun. Tony Baselli, local guy. Come on. Is Tony Baselli? That'd be cool if he did get in. That'd be awesome if Tony could get in. What do you think?
Tony Baselli was my hero growing up, man.
I bet he was.
I think he actually has a debatable Hall of Fame career at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch. A fun boulder. Leroy Butler.
Leroy. I don't know. You answer something.
Tough to say. Alan Faneca, older guy. Tough to say. Rodney Harrison. Woo! Talking about a lot about safeties. Rodney Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
See, he's got the rings. He's got the team success.
I'm going to say yes on Rodney Harrison. Although.
But we just put some safeties in.
I know. The Hall of Fame has been brutal on safety.
Well, and it goes in cycles, too. You know, you generally speaking, you don't do the same thing the 2 years in a row.
All right. Who deserves to be in there more? I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Okay. Rodney Harrison or John Lynch? John's on the list, too.
Oof. Probably Rodney.
Really? Why?
How many rings does John have?
Well, he's got one. With Tampa. He is a ring of famer for the Broncos. See, these are the debates you have to have. They're tough.
These are silly questions. I'm glad I don't have to vote for this.
You're glad you're not.
Because in my mind, every single one of these guys is
right.
A Hall of Famer, you know?
You're glad you're not Jeff Legwald, who has to actually really make these decisions.
That's hard. That's really hard.
All right, let me just give you the rest of them. We won't hem and haw. Torrey Holtz, if you hear one that's just like, hey, it's gotta be, just let me know.
Yeah.
Torrey Holtz, Clay Matthews Jr., Sam Mills, Richard Seymour.
Clay Matthews Jr.?
Wow. Yes. Steve Tasker. Listen, I'm going to advocate for my guy, Steve Tasker, too. When you just want to look at special teams, I don't know. He has got to be one of the greatest special teams players ever. And if special teams really is important and matters, then Steve Tasker should actually be in the Hall of Fame.
Gosh.
Fred Taylor, Zach Thomas, Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, Darren Woodson, and Bryant Young. Anybody stand out to you there?
I don't know. Like I said, I heard at least four or five names that I'm like, that dude is guaranteed to be a Hall of Famer.
Tough. Let me tell you about John, though. And hey, listen, John's a friend. What's your relationship with John Lynch? If
I was a teammate, and I bump into him probably once an offseason, it feels like.
Great guy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. One of the most first-class human beings you'll ever meet.
No doubt about it.
Him and Steve Atwater. Seriously, like just different breed of niceness.
Yep. John has been through this process as a semifinalist. This is going to be his ninth time as a semifinalist. John has got this close eight other times.
That's tough.
Tasker has been this far in the process eight times as well. So,
what did Tasker do to be in the Hall of Fame?
Special teams. You got to.
Can you get in the special? I mean, you got to be Devin Hester to make it off of special teams.
He was sort of the special teams defensive version of Devin Hester.
Okay.
Devin Hester is known as an offensive.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, it was kind of a different era that I was not following the Buffalo Bills that closely.
Look it up. He was the best special teams player in the league for the 4 years the Broncos
were. That sounds like a debatable resume to me.
The Bills were in the Super Bowl four straight times. Steve Tasker was the best special teams player in the league during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not good enough, I mean, obviously it's hung him up a little bit, but he was that good. I know it sounds crazy, and how do you actually define it and analyze it? He just was that guy. He was ridiculous. And Steve Tasker is, you look at him, you wouldn't think a thing about Steve Tasker. How tall is Steve Tasker? 5'10"? Maybe he went a buck 80 or something?
I don't even think he was 5'10", to be honest.
Hey, look up, Richie, look up Steve Tasker's height. I always like talking to Steve because how many guys am I going to relatively look in the 5'9"? Which really, you know, was he really 5'9"?
Probably not. Yeah, right. That's like 5'8" and a half at the best.
Right. And I think I've shrunk. So I might have been eyeball to eyeball with another, like, incredible dude.
Talk about your career.
Yeah, I don't know how you evaluate it aside from just saying he's the best defensive special teams player I've ever seen.
I don't think that's Hall of Fame.
Maybe it's not. I mean, he makes it this far, and then he gets the door shut on him.
Yeah.
Do you think Lynch gets in? I mean, ninth time. And do you think his success as a general manager might have a little bit to do with it?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Yeah, if he gets in, it probably will be because of that. And I think guys that are in the limelight, that are in the media, that always helps their case. John Lynch is a Hall of Famer. It just feels like a matter of time.
And the only other safety, gosh, is there another safety besides Rodney and John? I don't think so. I got nothing against Rodney Harrison. He deserves to be in there, too. I don't know how many times Rodney Harrison has been nominated. I'm going to go that this could be the year for John Lynch. Hey, Richie, can you look up real quick, if you can, how many times Rodney Harrison has been through this process?
How many times can you be eligible?
I think it goes to like, you got like 20 years or something, and then you go to like the Veterans Committee, that sort of thing.
Okay.
That's why you see a guy like Alan Faneca on this list who played a million years ago.
Oh, Alan Faneca is not that old, buddy.
How old do you think Alan Faneca is?
Alan Faneca is probably 48.
Oh, man. All right, hold on. I can look that up. I bet he's older than me. I know, actually, I don't bet anything, but... he is.
You're right.
He's
too high.
No, he's only.
He played right before I was.
He's only 43. My bad.
43. Gosh, another In and Out burger.
No, I did not make that bet. Wow. How old's Rodney Harrison?
He's not that old.
Let's see. Rodney is 47.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm getting all screwed up.
I mean, Rodney was part of the Patriots heyday.
I think this is the year for Lynch.
Think the GM stuff sets him over?
I think it helps.
Oh, for sure it helps.
I think it helps a pinch. And do we have any other... Well, we got Peyton Manning. I wonder if we're going to see... And Atwater. Because, right, that all got pushed back. The 20...
Oh, well, but he's already in.
I get it. But, you know,
ceremony.
That whole thing... So we could have a ceremony that involves Peyton Manning, Steve Atwater, and John Lynch.
There you go.
And you would get two Broncos safeties in on the same ceremony.
Yeah.
That could be pretty cool.
Wait, do you have to choose a team going into the Hall of Fame?
No, you do not.
You do not.
Mm-mm. The bust is the bust. Have you never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I have, my rookie year. They made all the rookies go.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, which is a dump hole city, don't even worry about it.
I was not impressed by it. It was like, no. I thought the Hall of Fame was kind of dumpy.
Very dumpy.
Unorganized. It was not like by eras.
Very. Outdated.
Yeah.
Tough to get around.
Like spirals that you're walking through.
Yep. Terrible. Except for the bust room. The bust room is awesome. The bust room will give you chills. The rest of the Hall of Fame sucks. I'm telling you, the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Tyler, is do not miss it. Do not miss the College Football Hall of Fame. The Pro Football Hall of Fame stinks, except for the bust room.
All right. Thank you for that professional analysis.
Well, there you go. The College Football Hall of Fame. You know why? Because it's modern, and they've really spent a lot of time thinking about the best way to do it. And the Canton looks like something from the 70s.
Yep.
Just like...
Totally.
Plus, it's in Canton.
And who wants to go to Canton?
I've been there. The answer is nobody.
They've got a cool high school football field that you play NFL games.
Let me give you a hint. If, for whatever reason, stay in Cleveland, make the drive, go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, have a good weekend. This is the Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Well, I want to get back to something that we had been talking about earlier, and that is the potential payday for our guy, Garrett Bowles. He's our guy. He's our guy.
Well, what do you know? Look how things have changed.
He's got to get paid.
Yeah.
Big time. And it's a small I told you so moment when I said every week that goes by, that, you know, price tag is going to go up. How high do you think it is for Garrett Bowles right now in terms of his value on the open market?
Oh, well, what's the franchise tag? About, I'm guessing, $14 million-ish, somewhere in that ballpark.
First franchise, top five average, so sure. Okay. And the second franchise.
That's totally off my head. I might be off the mark here, but I'm guessing somewhere around $14 million. And in my mind, that's where Garrett starts, because he looks at the Broncos and he says, all right, well, you're going to tag me, so I'm not going to take any money that is less than what the tag is. Same thing that Justin Simmons did last year. So that's where it starts. Whatever that number is.
Every week that goes by. Tick, 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 tick.
Sort of. But again, I really don't feel the pressure. Matter of fact, there's a huge part of me that feels very tempted to pull the double entendre on him.
And I'm just, sorry, what?
That's right. That's right. Go the Kirk Cousins route and just franchise him this year. Franchise him next year if you have to, if you mm-hmm. can't come to a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. Garrett's an old guy, man. I mean, he's what is he now? I think he's 31-ish, somewhere in that ballpark.
Is he that old?
Yeah. Oh,
I don't think he's quite that old.
Okay, I'll look it up here in just
Boy,
a second.
That's but, old. Can you imagine being 31?
Yeah, I mean, cow. he's getting up there. But point being, I think that Garrett Bowles still has a lot of football left to play. And I think if you're the Broncos, you got to be a little bit reserved on, is this the real deal?
Well, that is an interesting concept, to just sort of be okay with tagging him twice, which you absolutely could do. For example, if you think, according to Pro Football Focus, you've got one of the best left tackles
in
football.
Boy, I was way off, sorry. 28.
Well, you're not way off, but you're a little off. But for example, you think that he's a top five tackle. All right, well, you can tag him, and you're going to pay him top five money. Then you hope he's the top three tackle. Well, you can tag him again, and you'd be paying him the average salary of the top three tackles.
Right.
So you're actually not spending more money on him than his true value.
Mm-hmm.
You just have him for 2 years, and then he'll be 30 years old at the end of that. And then you got something to think about. So, you know, it's actually not that bad with Bowles. There's no real reason that you have to let go of him, as long as there's nobody else on the team that you think is worth getting tagged.
Well, so I just looked it up, and the 2021 projected franchise number for an offensive tackle actually goes down in 21 from it was in 2020, because salary cap's going down, right?
Okay.
So in 2020, that number was 13.5.
All right.
In 2021, the projected number is 12.8. So, yeah, I mean, that's
kind of an easy decision.
Yeah,
really.
Very easy decision. I mean, that's totally reasonable to pay him.
So you can actually offer him a longer-term, low-ball offer.
Right.
And in fact, now that we lay it out like this, there's not really a rush.
No.
You know, you can offer him right now a low-ball offer. Why not? Maybe he'd take it. I don't know. Maybe he would like a five-year deal with, if it was a five-year, $60 million deal. With 30 guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, that's more guaranteed than you would have as the franchise tag 2 years in a row.
Yep.
It would be more.
Right.
But it would be less over the course of time what you could possibly get.
Okay,
five.
But it's about on target. I mean, it's about $12 million per year is what that comes out to.
That's right.
And, you know, that's fine. I'm happy. Like, I'm okay with offering a deal like that. I just think what it really comes down to with Garrett is, are you going to get ahead of this game, and are you going to offer him some long-term deal, or do you want to, or do you want to see more? Because the beauty of the franchise tag, and this is why players hate it and why teams love it, this is why the league stays so competitive. When you've got a guy like Garrett Bowles that you don't really know what you want to do, well, it's very easy. You just slap the tag on him, and you can do it 2 years in a row if you want to. It doesn't happen often, but what would be the big deal? So if you paid him $12 million next year on the franchise tag, and then you got to bump that up a little bit, it goes up towards $13, $14 in 2022, oh well. So you spent $26 million, which is, what, $2 million more than what you would have if you got him at 12?
The only problem with that is he certainly would be gone after the second year. You know, he would just go somewhere else. He wouldn't stick around.
There's maybe. Maybe. I mean, you offer him a deal, people stick around.
Maybe. Most likely. But, so I think that's just the difference. If you see him, actually, they're in a good position with Garrett.
Heck yeah.
And he's in a good position, too. He's in a good position, too.
He could have been a much better position, but, you know.
It is what it is.
You're right.
He had a pretty rocky first 3 years.
Yep.
And in his fourth year, it's been fantastic. So the Broncos are, no matter what happens, I wonder if they're going to bring forth some sort of longer-term offer. If they really do see him more of a, we really do see you here maybe for 3 or 4 years, not just for 2 years.
Well, if you give him a longer-term offer, the way I view it is you got to make sure that it's a two-year out. So, you know, you don't want to guarantee more than what you could get him in that first 2 years of the franchise tag. And so if you want to offer him a five-year deal and you can get out after 2 years, okay, fine. But otherwise, don't get yourself locked into something for 3 or 4 years when you've got the ability to use the franchise tag.
Is there anybody else that we need to put a tag on?
Simmons would be the only other one.
You know, yeah, but I just don't see them paying him the average of top three. I just don't see it.
You know, I was with you when the season began. I was with you a few weeks ago. But he's playing dang good football, man. You got a tough decision to make. So what you probably need to do is you got to approach this like, all right, well, which one of these two guys do I feel like I can really get done? And go after that guy and just plan on franchise tagging the other one.
Yeah. I think it's a lot easier to find either in free agency or even the draft safety rather than left tackle.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, I am not trying to rag on Justin whatsoever. It's just that there's a lot of great safeties that come out of college every year, and you can find really good safeties in free agency. It's actually not that hard. Left tackles are, I mean, dude, it's right after quarterback to find a dependable left tackle. It's that difficult.
Yeah.
So am I thinking it's, I don't know, maybe you, man, I would hate to move on from Justin Simmons, but I don't see them tagging him for the average of the top three.
Well, I don't think you have to plan on moving on from either one of them. The plan can be to try to get them both done. You've got plenty of money, and you've got the ability to utilize the franchise tag.
Well, let me point something out, too. You can talk with Bowles right now and his agent.
Yeah.
You can't even talk to Justin until free agency begins. You're not allowed. So it might become kind of a moot point. I think you probably make a decision one way or the other on Bowles before you do anything.
Well,
I think you have to.
From everything I've been told, the Broncos are not doing that. They have not done that. They have not approached him, and I don't think that they plan on approaching him until they get to that point.
No, they don't have to. It's up to them. You know, it depends how much money they think they could save and how they view him in the long term. I think it's nuts if they wouldn't want Justin back. I'm like 50-50 if they can keep Simmons. And Vaughn is, geez, the more scenarios that I run in my head, the more Vaughn is just gone. I'm having a hard time running a scenario where he stays. Like, he's still here. Can you got one?
It's tough. You know, the only way there can't be any competitive offers out there. So that's the only way that you get Vaughn back. You know, if...
like a Shelby Harris sort of deal?
Yeah. I mean, that's about it. Because otherwise, if you go to him and you ask him to take a big reduction in his salary, well, if there's a single competitor out there, he's just going to go to the most money, or he's going to go to the best contender. And, you know, I'm with you. It feels very unlikely that you get him back, but it would have to come down to just the market's not out there.
I guess where I'm at...
What do you think the market's out there? So that's the question for Vaughn. And we can tell, now, I mean, we can define what that is.
He's in his 30s. That's the dude in his 30s. I don't think so, man. I think Vaughn's in the $8, $9 million a year range.
If that's the case, then you might get him back.
It's not chicken feed. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Do you name a team that's going to spend ridiculous money for Vaughn?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head, man. I mean, I would have to go into pretty deep dive on all the team needs and everything, but I don't think anybody's going to spend ridiculous money on Vaughn. You know, could there be a team out there that would pay him 11, 12? Maybe.
It's a hard sell, even, you know, for me at this point. But don't tell Vaughn that, because we're not supposed to talk about it. Okay, in terms of giving some light to this and the other time, but by the way, my big point with Bowles, I think he's done enough I have seen enough. I get it.
Okay.
And there's six games left. I don't think you're going to see some sort of fall off. I think we've seen what we've needed to see, and that's that. I don't know if there's anything that could happen the rest of the season to make me change my mind on that, nor do I envision a scenario with the rest of the season that he drops off significantly. I'm not saying he's not going to get a flag here or there.
Well, it's very unlikely that he would drop off to the degree that you wouldn't want to bring him back.
Right.
Now,
he
could drop off and he could lower his value, but you're still going to want to bring him back regardless.
Yeah. Hey, man, props to Garrett Bowles. Talk about a dude that had things stacked against him at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Some serious credit needs to go to him. He got in the GB zone. You get in the GB zone.
I know. I got to get there.
Forget it. Okay, we'll hear from Troy Rank. He's coming up next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, earlier we spoke with Troy Rank from Denver 7, brought to you by...
Rocks Heating and Air. That's ROX. Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy just fish on a bicycle. He's just got it all. What do you think of Garrett Bowles today?
Fantastic. I mean, he is mature. I give him a lot of credit because he had a bit of an epiphany this offseason that all the criticism, all of, you know, his future becoming uncertain, he took that as a way to get better. Instead of, you know, in his first few years, he was defensive, kind of saying, like, I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to get through this. And he realized, as, you know, Tyler knows, I mean, at some point, it's not about strength. It's not about athleticism. It's about technique and nuances. And he studied that. He got better, you know, and he's put himself in position to get a contract or be a franchise tag guy. But no matter how you look at it, now the NFL stopped calling holding this year. That's helped him. No crowds. That's helped him. But his technique's better. We don't see the wrestling matches. We don't see one penalty ruining a half like we did in the past. So he's developed this great relationship with Mike Munchak. For me, you've got to find a way to keep him going forward. Just because of the fact they have so many other question marks, they cannot go into the offseason wondering about their left and right tackle, because we don't know what we're going to get out of Juwan James. You hope he's good, but he essentially will go 2 years without playing.
Well, where do you think we're headed? Is it looking like a long-term deal or maybe more likely franchise tag?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, because of his desire to stay here and be with Munchak, you go to him and try to get him at, you know, the franchise tag is going to be around 15, it looks like. So could you get him at 15 for a first couple of years, and then, you know, whatever that number is, because his agent's going to say, you got guys getting nearly $100 million guaranteed. I can't go there with him. I mean, he just, that to me, you can't do it off one season. The guys who are getting that money this offseason have proven it over several years. So I don't want to say, hey, I'm just going to give you an open, you know, blank check. But what I would do, Tyler, is try to get him on a four-year deal. His age figures into this. He's an older player. You know, so I don't want to go six, or, you know, I want to go four. And if I'm not even close, I franchise tag him and I absolutely get a deal done with Justin Simmons. And Simmons for me is different because he's done it over multiple seasons. He's been everything you've asked in your locker room and in the community.
and he's your guy. You drafted him, and this is what you want guys you draft to become. So if I can't get right with Bowles and it looks squirrely, I'll say, cool, franchise tag, and let's go get something done with Justin Simmons.
All right, I'm going to ask you and Tyler the same question. I heard this earlier right here on The Fan. I'm going to name three players. You can only keep two.
Oh, whoa.
Justin Simmons, Von Miller, Garrett Bowles. What two are you keeping, Troy?
Yeah, I mean, that puts me in a tough spot.
Yeah, this is a
bad game.
I would say Simmons and Bowles only because of the uncertainty with Vaughn, his age. And I've seen, and again, I love Vaughn. I'm a ride or die guy with Vaughn. But if you're giving me that choice, given where they need to rebuild, it makes more sense to get the younger guys long term. And that would stink to see Vaughn leave. I would hope he's a Bronco for life. But if you're going to make me make a decision and I see them as a rebuilding team, then I go with the younger players for that reason.
There you go, Troy Rank, brought to you by
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
You know, today was a long, exhausting day, but ultimately a fun day. And it was really cool to see, as I was delivering the bed to your home, your family. You got such a cool family, and
I like them. Yeah.
You should like them.
No, it was awesome, man. I was sitting in my office. I knew that you were on your way. My office has got a view onto the street, so I saw you pull in. I pulled out the camera. I walked out to the point where you wouldn't quite see me, but I could have the camera ready to rock and roll so that I could videotape the walk of shame. And I did get that walk of shame, and it was fun. You were a great spirit about it.
I was. It was fun.
The kids all had a blast. Everybody loved their food. You brought extras. We actually brought some burgers over to the neighbors. It was a win-win-win.
What did your neighbors say?
They were just like, what do you mean you have extra? What do you mean you have extra In-N-Out burgers? Well, Tyler won a bet. He won a bet, and you know it was delayed, so there was interest that was paid, and yeah, so we got an extra burger.
Oh, what a bonus for your neighbors! Huh?
I know, they didn't know
anything was coming. All right, well, listen, we're back tomorrow. Nick and Cecil roll on next. It's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.